Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and it's my pleasure to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you. We are now going to study Shmuel Bet Perak Chaf Aleph today. And David, these last four chapters of Sefer Shmuel are, of course, post, not necessarily chronologically, but from the perspective of the literature, they are post the entire episode of the rebellion and the aftermath of the rebellion, with which we concluded at the end of Perak Chaf. David has been reinstated as the proper king. And at some point, we don't know when, Vayhi Ra'av b'mei David shalosh shanim shana acharei shana. There was a famine during David's times. And again, this phrase, b'mei David, gives us a sense that this didn't necessarily happen afterwards. It may have happened before the rebellion of Avshalom. 3 years. Vayvakesh David pnei Adonai, and so David sought out God to find out what was going on. Vayomer Adonai al Shaul ve'al Beit Adamim al Asher Mita Tagivonim. So God said to Shaul, God said to David, that the entire famine is because of Shaul and what he had done to the Givonim, and there was and because of the blood that he had spilled. And we don't know this story, and we weren't given this story in the times of Shaul. But in the episodes of Shaul, but evidently at some point Shaul massacred some Givonim. Vayikra HaMelech al Givonim. So the king called the Givonim. Vayomer aleihem haba Givonim lo bnei Yisrael hema. And this is an kind of awkward interjection. He said to them, and then parenthetically, the Givonim themselves are not bnei Yisrael. Anybody wants to read the full story of the Givonim, read Yoshua Perek Tet. Ki'im miyater ha'emori, they were the remnants of the Emori of bnei Yisrael nishbu'u lahem vayivakesh Shaul lahakotam. Bekanotoli b'nei Yisrael v'Yehuda. So b'nei Yisrael had taken an oath that they wouldn't hurt them. That's in Yeshua Perak Tet. And at some point, Shaul wanted to destroy them. And the text presents this as something of a righteous crusade. But nonetheless, it violated the oath, so it was clearly disfavored by God. So David called the Givonim and he spoke to them. Vayomer David al Givonim, Maya selachem, Macha per v'rachu et nachlat Adonai. So he said to the Givonim, and now we're in a very awkward position. We're turning to these slaves. Take a look at the end of Perak Tet and Yoshua. And David asks them, what can we do for you, and how can we attain forgiveness so we can bless the land, the Nachalav Hashem, in other words, to restore the rain. V'mulo Givonim, Ein lanu kesef zahavim Shaul. We have no monetary claims on Shaul, v'im beito. There's no one we want to kill. So Vayomer Matam Omrim Esalachem. So David pestered them and said, what is it you want? And I'll do it for you. The man who destroyed us. Evidently they were fairly decimated. Vasher Dimalanu, Nishmadnu Yatsevachogul Israel, the one who imagined putting us in a position of destroying us so that we would not be around anymore. Yutanu Shivana Shimi Banav. So we want seven of his sons. Now this is problematic because back in Perek Tet, we read that David was looking to see if there was any single descendant of Shaul, and they only found Mephibosheth. And now they ask for seven sons, which may lead us to believe that this happened much, much earlier. And we want to have them hanged in Givat Shaul, hanged to God, as it were. Givat Shaul b'chir Adonai. And there's a shtoch there, there's a kneel there. We want to have him hung in the town of Shaul, Givat Shaul, who was the select of Hashem, from Melech HaNiyatan, and the king agrees to do this. Now, the Gemara in Yevamot, Tafayin Chet, in discussing the halachic status of the Nitinim, who are the Givonim, says that originally the ban of allowing the Nitinim to marry into Bnei Israel was only for that generation. When David saw this ruthlessness that they had, he banned them forever, and the Isur de Rabbanan of marrying among the Netinim, according to almost all poskim, it's an Isur de Rabbanan, is on account of that. You also take a look at the Rambam in Hilchot Isur Bia, where he lays that out. V'achmo melech al mefiboshet ben Yonatan ben Shaul, al shvuat Adonai Asher ben Otam. And it says the king had compassion over Mephibosheth because of the oath that was between him and Yonatan ben Shaul. In other words, he had to choose seven descendants of Shaul to sacrifice them, as it were, and give them to the Givonim to achieve this sort of expiation. The whole scene is a very strange scene. and very hard to explain, certainly in halacha categories. But he evidently knew about Mephibosheth at this time and did not offer him. Now, if you call back in Paragimel, when Avner got angry at Eshbal, it was because Eshbal had accused Avner of sleeping with Ritzpah Vataya, who was a Pilegesh of Shaul. So now, her two sons, Ashi Aldala Shaul, at Armoni Ved Mephibosheth. So there's another Mephibosheth here. This is, of course, a very difficult phrase. The five sons of Michal bat Shaul, Asher Yaldala, Adriel ben Barzilai, Mecholati. This is a very confusing pasuk, because Michal, of course, was married to David, then for a while married to Paltiel, and then married back to David, and of course she never had any children. So to say that the five sons of Michal itself is an anomalous statement, and second of all, to say that she gave birth to Adriel ben Barzilai, Mecholati, well, Adriel, Hamacholati, was the husband of Merav, not of Michal. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that because Michal raised them, it's considered as if she birthed them. There may be some confusion in the text, maybe referring to Merav here. But one thing that we have some new information here, which is kind of interesting to take and kind of intriguing to look at, is that Adriel, that is Merav's husband, his father is Barzilai HaGiladi, Mimcholat. And that's the same Barzilai who was supportive of David. And now we look back at the earlier Prakim when David fled to Machanaim and he received support. He received support from Shovi ben Nachash, who had reason to dislike him because he's from Ammon. He received support from Barzilai HaGiladi, who now we see would have reason because his daughter-in-law was Merav to dislike David, and received support from the man from Lodvar, who had been the one who housed Mephibal. So that strikes us as a more impressive statement. In any case, name Biyara Givonim, so David handed these seven men over, the five children of whoever this woman is, Michal, Merav, etc., and the two sons of Mitzpah Vataya, Vayokuyum Bahar Lifnei Adonai, and they hung them up in front of God, in the presence of God, whatever that may mean. And all seven died at once. And they died at the beginning of the harvest season. So this is March or April. In other words, it's already at the end of the rainy season. And what happened? So Ritzpah Vataya, who was the mother of the two of these children who died, took a burlap and covered it over the rock until the end of the rain. So evidently, it would start raining immediately. And she covered their bodies so that they would not decompose quicker. She stayed there for several days, not allowing any wild animals, any birds during the day or wild animals at night, to take the body so that they could have a proper funeral. So David heard what she did. So if you recall, Shaul and Yonatan had been buried, their bodies had been buried up by Yavesh Gilad, their bodies had been buried up there, the bodies were burned and the bones were buried. Remember, they had stolen them from the gates of Beit Shan where the Plishtim had hung them. This is all recapping what happened in the end of Shmuel Aleph. So he took the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yonatan and the bones of these seven hangmen. So he buried Shaul and Yonatan's bones in the catacomb of Kish, Shaul's father. And then God responded to the land, and there was rain. In any case, David is very impressed by what he saw Ritzpah Vataya do, and that's why he took the bones of the seven who had been, and the bodies of the seven who had died, and buried them properly. And now we got a few little notes, it's almost like a summary at the end of David's career, about several wars that took place at some point in time with Plishtim. Atiyod mochamala Plishtim in Israel. It was another war. Vayor David vavadavi mor velachamur Plishtim vayaf David. So there's one particular time where they went down, they were fighting, and David vayaf means, again, as I mentioned earlier, became thirsty. Vishvi v'nov asher v'lider afa. So there was this particular person who was a child of Harafa. Chazal say it's Orpah. Umishkal kino shlosh miot mishkal nechoshet. Here we hear another description, like we heard in Perek Yud Zayin, of Shmuel Aleph, of a very powerful giant who had a sword or a stick that was 300 mishkal nechoshet. V'uchagur chadasha, v'melakot David. He wanted to kill David. V'azorlo Avishai ben Tsruya v'yachad ha-plishti. Again, Avishai ben Tsruya comes to his help. He kills this plishti v'amiteu. Az nishvu anshe David lo lemor lo tetzei od itanu l'melchama. That's when David's soldiers said, you will no longer go out to war. Which now brings, it means that this entire episode happened before the war against Ammon, perhaps. V'lo techaber ner Yisrael. Do not let the candle, the light of Israel, be extinguished, because David was endangered. Now there was a war in Gov, not Nov, but in Gov, with Plishtim. Another children, a child of Harafa, was killed by this guy, Sibcha Achushati. Another war there. Vayach El Chanan, this one is very difficult. El Chanan, Ben Ya'are or Gim, Beit Halachmi, a particular man named Elchanan from Beit Lechem, among the weavers, at Goliath Hagiti, he killed Goliath from Gat. And the haft of his sword, of his spear, was like a weaver's loom. Now that's exactly the description we got about Goliath beforehand, which leads to much consternation about who this Elchanan is. There are people who even go as far as saying Elchanan was really David, and David was a royal name. All sorts of theories about this, a very difficult passage. And that, by the way, as I mentioned way back at Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin, is why when we were studying Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin, I was not ready to fully identify the giant as Goliath, because really the giant may have been somebody else from Gat, and because of the mention here of Goliath Migat, that's why the name in two places or so got appended, but almost always he's referred to as HaPlishti, HaArel HaZeh, but not as by name. Vatiyom milchama begat, there was another war in Gat, vahi ish madon, v'etzpod yada, v'etzpod raglav, shesh v'shesh, esrim v'arba mispar. He had 6 digits on each extremity, 24 total. V'gam hu yulad harafa, he's also a child of this harafa. Evidently this harafa gave birth to giants and people with some disfigurements. V'charifit Yisrael, he also, if you remember this goes back to Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin, he also degraded Yisrael. V'akeu Yonatan ben Shim'ach hi David. And David's nephew, we know about Shima, who is one of David's brothers, that his son, Yonatan, slaughtered him. So David has other members of his family who are fierce warriors. He has the Tsruyab boys, etc. Etabat Eila Yodula Harafa Begat. So now it sums it up and says, these are the 4 children of Harafa who were in Gat, Vaiplubiyat David, Viyaravadav. They all died at the hands of David and of his warriors, his servants. And that is this fellow with the 24 digits, and then there was the Goliath mentioned, and then it was Sibchai Chushati killed Saf, and earlier on there was the Yishbi Benov, and those 4 were all killed by David and by his servants. We will, Mirz Hashem, in the next podcast, pick up with Shirat David. We will not study the entire Shira, but we'll talk about the role of Shira in Sefer Shmuel and some of the overarching points in this particular Shira. Until then, everyone should have a wonderful day.